I am joined by a man who was frazzled, who made it all the way from the long journey, the depths of Dungarvan, and he managed to make it up here. Good morning, Mel Shanley.
Good morning, and I had to fight my way through athletes training for Sunday. And
you're not joining them?
Posters and flags. They didn't actually, I tried to.
Yeah.
But they advised that they didn't have my weight category this year in the Ironman. In fact, about 10 stone ago, I used to do a lot of triathlons, and I did a couple in Chicago years ago. A fantastic event. So I'm really looking forward to it now. There was a huge Dungarvan contingent coming over for this.
There is. It's brilliant. I mean, as I was saying earlier, I mean, the whole energy is palpable in the town at the moment. It's brilliant to see it coming in. Like.
Yeah.
And it must. So, like, I'm going off topic here now, but it must take some training for a triathlete. So, does it?
Well, I would necessarily not be breaking records with my triathlon times, but I mean, there are people that do take it quite seriously and do a lot of training. But I'm a sea swimmer all my life. So to me, getting out of the water is probably, once you get out of the water, I think you're home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most people are able to cycle a bicycle and jog or walk or run their way around the course. So really the swimming is the big thing for most triathletes. And that was my thing. I was always a fairly handy swimmer.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I mean, I wouldn't be breaking any records with my triathlon times, I can guarantee
you. Very fact that you did one in itself is
I certainly wouldn't
fair
be attempting, I wouldn't be attempting an Ironman, that's for sure.
Listen, I was saying earlier there to Lydia, the oldest ever competitor of an Ironman was 85 years of age, and he did his first Ironman at age 70.
Wow.
There's hope for you yet, man.
Okay.
All right. No excuses.
I'll take that as advice, so.
This time next year, you're in the Ironman. Just telling you now.
Okay.
All right.
That's the plan.
Now, anyway, you're not here to talk to me about the Ironman. You're here to talk to me about...
Well, today we're just going to talk about funds, different types of funds and investment funds, because what has happened again there lately is there has been more kind of rummagings around in the deposit market in Ireland, particularly with credit unions and that, you know, where the topics are constantly being voiced about no interest being had, no interest being had. Some of the, in the credit union movement, sometimes it's difficult to even get a dividend paid anymore because they're struggling as well to find value for their investments. So, you know, they need to make a return. The banks need to make a return. I know we could be cynical about the banks. They seem to be making gazillions of profit every year, and we still don't seem to be getting much of a return on our deposits. So what has entered into the Irish market very recently, and that's why I wanted to bring it up today, and you need to go and talk to your advisors or your brokers, but there are a lot of people sitting in cash, as we'd use that term, sitting in cash, or having money on deposit in banks or post office, credit union, building societies, things like that. And they're terrified of their life to move it because they need to know that they need to get a return on their money someplace, but they don't know where to put the money. Okay. So what has entered into the Irish market there lately from one of the biggest financial institutions on the planet, Citibank, Citigroup, if you ever heard of them, and BlackRock. BlackRock would be a fund advisory manager worldwide that manages like trillions and trillions of dollars. So they've entered the Irish market with a protected fund, which protects 85% of the investor's money. Okay.
Have we seen similar products like this going back, I'm talking maybe 10, 15 years ago? Has there been similar products like this in the market before?
Similar from the point of view in that there would be a capital protection built in, but it certainly wouldn't be a fund type product.
Okay.
So what you would have had historically would have been things like tracker bonds, if people remember those, tracker bonds, fixed income bonds, certain types of structured products, as they call them. So you'd give your money to a product provider for, let's say, 5 years. Right. At the end of 5 years, they would promise you one thing. They'd promise you either all your money back or a percentage of your money back. Right. But they wouldn't be promising you any return.
OK.
So you'd be taking a chance there. And that's fine. It's good to take a chance, you know, if you have certain levels of protection. So they would have been the tracker bonds. So they would, you would have to invest your money for a particular length of time. But the funds scenario is slightly different in that they, the funds have what they call daily liquidity. So you can encash your investment on a daily basis. You're not locked in for any period of time. And you still have an 85% capital protection. So it was just something we wanted to briefly touch on today to talk again about funds. There is a journey from cash deposits out back into the marketplace. People are starting to look again at where can I put some of my money, not all of it, but where can I put some of my money where it would have a very high level of protection, but that I have a chance of making a return on it. So that's the market that's there.
Because, of course, a lot of people would have been burnt, for want of a better word, during the fall of the Celtic Tiger and the recession and everything that happened after that. I mean, a lot of people would have lost life savings.
Oh, yeah.
Pension money, yeah. Everything. And so I suppose that, in a sense, meant a lot of people put it into the safest possible place, which would have been a deposit account, I would imagine.
Correct.
At the time, wasn't it?
Correct. And you hit the nail on the head. People, like, once bitten, twice shy. If you've lost money in an investment, be it, you've bought property and it hasn't worked out, you've bought shares and they haven't worked out. I mean, look, there's some horror stories. People have bought bank shares, sometimes on the advice of the people behind the bank counter.
Mm-hmm.
And, nobody obviously had a crystal ball and could see what was going to happen, the banking crisis. But, the pillar banks in Ireland, most of them, the main PLC banks in Ireland, all the share price was wiped out. People lost everything. So there's once bitten, twice shy. People are extremely reluctant to look at investments as a place where they can credibly put some of their savings, right? And that has been the case for nearly 10 years now, you know, since 2007, 2008, the crash, 2008. We're now 11 years beyond, almost. This September will be the 11th anniversary of the banking crash, the 28th of September 2008, sorry, 29th of September 2008 for this country. So there is slowly but surely a bit of a movement now again where people are saying, right, okay, I've sat on the fence for 10 years. My savings have just been eaten away by inflation. The cost of living rises and whatever. I need to start doing something with some of my money. So they're just, again, talk to your advisors, talk to your brokers. There are funds out there now, in particular the likes of the City Fund, as we call it, who are a very, very high level of protection there for people to get back into the marketplace, have a floor or have a bottom of what they could possibly lose, 15%. Nobody wants to lose 15%, but in the event of a catastrophic event in the markets, at least you know that your losses are limited to 15% of your investment. And there are people out there that are interested in that kind of a fund. And of course, you know, you can go in today and you can come out tomorrow. That's the beauty of it. So that's the way the market is changing. So we just wanted to talk a little bit about investment funds and how they're changing and what's available.
Is there a minimum capital investment into these type of funds?
Yeah, typically €1,000.
Which is great for people to know, because oftentimes when you hear, oh, funds, and you're thinking, oh, God, I must have 20 grand or I must have 30 grand to put in there.
Yeah.
But like €1,000.
Yeah.
It's a nice starting point, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, look, again, nobody has a crystal ball. And I certainly, if I was advising people, I wouldn't be saying, look, you could make this, you could make that, you could make this, you could make that. There are absolutely no guarantees in this life that you're going to make any investment return, right? But what's really important, and Irish people in particular, are looking for very high levels of protection if they're going to be tempted back into the market again, into the fund space. They want to know that their losses are limited, they're not going to buy shares where they could lose all of their money. They're not going to go into funds where there is no capital protection whatsoever and they could lose everything. people have just got too wise to that, you know. So that's the message today. The, you know, staying on deposit, is absolutely nothing wrong with it. And there's, you know, there's huge protections there with having cash deposits. But the time has started to come now where people are looking at, you know, maybe moving some of it out into a protected funds setup where they have a chance of making a few quid on their money, but as well as that, limiting the amount of losses they could have in the event of a real downturn, you know.
Yeah, and that's reassuring for people to know as well, because as you said, for too long now, people have rightly been afraid to kind of, I suppose, step outside that comfort zone. And it is reassuring to see that these products are starting to come back into the market, and like 85% capital investment protected. That is very good, considering that people lost their life savings and whatever, do you know what I mean, 10 years ago, because none of their stuff was protected.
No.
And I suppose, as always, if you're listening, the best advice is always pick up the phone and contact your financial advisor and ask the questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Always ask the questions. Mel, as always, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. I'm going to rush off now, and I just need to find where my Speedos are for Sunday.
Listen, so you've heard it here now, folks, right? Everybody rush down there to the Front Strand, Mel Shanley in his Speedos in about, what, 20 minutes, Mel?
No, you have to be over 18 to see me in a set of Speedos. I'm certainly joking. I won't be in Speedos on Sunday, but I'll certainly be shouting for all the brave boys and girls that are going to jump into that.
It's brilliant.
Harbour and, or river or whatever it is.
All jokes aside, do go down and take a look at Green Park below. Yes. It looks absolutely fabulous at the moment. The whole town looks brilliant, but Green Park in particular looks very well at the moment. Hopefully we'll see you around on Sunday.
Thanks again. Talk to you soon.
And we will chat again. Thanks, Mel.